Hello everyone, it's September. We're journeying to the West. I'm V and I'm here with Jay.
Hi, I'm Jay.
And I'm here with Sen.
Hi everyone, I'm Sen.
And today we are here to talk about what has been happening lately in regards to especially the refugee deportations and ICE going on. Just in general, the overall history and context. So what inspired us to start this pod in particular today was the recent deportations of Cambodian refugees. So these, to begin, Miss Kimberly Yam wrote an article about these deportations. Currently, they said that the U.S. is asking for repatriations following the deportation in April of the largest amount of Cambodian refugees. And really messed up. The whole thing is so messed up. Seeing people being torn apart from their families, it boggles my mind. Anything you want to add on, Jay?
Yeah, in general, we hear a lot about family separation at the border, but we don't really hear a lot about Asians and the Asian American community specifically. Because this is also family separation. Often, a lot of the people who are getting deported don't know their home languages, their ancestral languages, so they're being stuck in a country that they have no real connection to. They don't have their IDs, they don't have money. They're being sent away from their families, their wives, their kids, their parents in some cases. And it's all around really fucked up. There's a lot that we're going to try to unpack today, but there's just so much that we're probably not going to get to it. But the more you learn about what's going on, the angrier you will get, because it ties into a very long and sinister history of imperialism, of colonialism, and quite frankly, white supremacy across the globe.
Overall, the climate in the U.S. at least has been pretty hostile towards these refugees from the beginning. It's nothing new. Ever since 1975 and after, when Cambodian, Viet, Lao, and greater Southeast Asian refugees started coming in, we were associated with a lot with crime, with just problematic stuff. When it came to resettlement, they were fully unequipped to dealing with the climate, especially navigating the racial hierarchies and navigating the overall environments that they were placed in. I know, for example, my parents, like, just being resettled, it's kind of hard. Like, people had to start over, get their degree. Some people were just stuck in the ghetto. Some people were stuck in camps. Even if people get out of the situation, some of them just remain in poverty and then, like, jeopardy and in hard places. It's really awful. That's not to say other Asians don't deal with that, but it's just, we wanted to talk about this context because it's also happening to Cambodian refugees. I've seen a couple stories with Lao and Viet refugees. It's really upsetting. And I think there's similar stuff happening in Australia. Right, Sen?
Well, our thing has been happening for a while. We have our own mandatory detention immigration policies, which I will get into much later, but a lot of like the ICE things happening in America and the way they're treating immigrants is not a unique trajectory. Like, it's been happening, I'm sure it's happened in a lot of other countries as well, that we're just not wholly familiar with.
So the thing is with ICE in general, so I'm trying to do a little more background information on ICE, but the thing is, the purpose was initially to send back immigrants who were either criminals or who have done like unlawful stuff. But lately, ever since the creation of ICE, there's already been a lot of terrorism associated with ICE, but...
Like, initially, the motivation for ICE's creation, this was after 9/11. So a lot of people were really paranoid about terrorism. So they started this organization specifically for that purpose, to crack down on potential threats. But they didn't really enforce a lot of the laws very harshly, because it's freaking impossible to keep track of every undocumented person in this country. So, you know, if you weren't a violent offender, that's fine. You just meet with your ICE rep every year, and they tell you to come back next year, and, you know, maybe you'll be granted a stay and maybe you won't. But basically, you're living in limbo. Recently, particularly in the last few administrations, I mean, if we're going to be perfectly honest, a lot of the deportations started ramping up specifically for Southeast Asians around the mid-90s, when Clinton signed a bunch of crime bills into law to try to prove that he was tough on crime. And this was a bipartisan bill. So it added new provisions that basically expanded what you could get deported for. I have a lot of information in my head right now because I just wrote an article about this. But basically, you know, if you committed some sort of crime that wasn't violent or that was minor, and if you had already served the time for it or paid fines for it, it doesn't matter how long ago that was, you can still be caught in the net when they do sweeps to be detained and deported. So an example of things like that happening today, there's this Filipino man who is from Jersey. He has a family here, and he just happened to be caught during a traffic stop with the possession of an airsoft pistol, which isn't a real gun, by the way. It's basically a toy. It fires plastic bullets. But, you know, that was not legal at the time. And so he went to court. They didn't make him go to jail. He just had probation and paid a bunch of fines. And he thought it would be fine. He never applied for citizenship because he never felt like he needed to. He just renewed his green card every year without any problem until a couple months ago when he was arrested on his way to work. And apparently this old conviction was enough to stick him in detention. And right now he's basically fighting in court, asking to be allowed to stay with his family here and not get sent back to the Philippines. So it's not even necessarily that it's people who've committed violent crimes who are being sent away. Right now, the administration is looking for any reason to kick you the fuck out. And you know that this would not happen to white people, because, I mean, how many white people do you see them deporting back to Europe just because they murdered somebody? You don't see that. This is just an excuse to get rid of non-white people in this country. I could go on and on about a bunch of other things, but that's the basic background for the laws that have continued to become more strict about what can get you deported, basically.
So recently there are other stories of, like, such as Hui Jizheng, who died while he was detained by ICE back in June. And then we have another story with PJI, who was 20 years imprisoned and then the US, and then after being released, was demanded and ordered to be deported back to Cambodia, a country he hasn't been in before. And it's just seeing all those stories overall, it's so heartbreaking. And there's a history behind how people got into this place. In fact, I want to talk about how, in particular, with the US, they have destabilized. They have a history of destabilizing Asia, and also especially Southeast Asia, because you know, like, for example, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos, I believe, are under the French Indochina Empire. The US did ally with France in this regard, and tried, because they allied with interests in Southeast Asia that were favored European like relations and favored basically colonialists, like basically favored the colonialists. This overall led to a lot of civil wars within Southeast Asian countries, and as a result led them to being pretty unstable economically and politically. And because of that, ever since 1975, everyone, a lot of people, especially in Southeast Asia, fled because of the instability, which is caused at the core by US and Western imperialism. In a nutshell, although some people may not believe and think, oh, but I'm not responsible for what happened years ago or any of those excuses, but it's like, well, you're still under a racism is not just a thing of the past. It's everywhere. It's ingrained in the society. It's even global now with its effects due to like political instability overall. And the thing is, with the deportations happening in the US, the US has been attempting to absolve themselves of the responsibilities that they have contributed to when it came to the instability in Asia that happened and it is still happening right now. There's massive poverty in Southeast Asia, massive like problems, but it's due to colonialism at the core.
So in addition to these wars, which were literally instigated by Western powers, we also have direct meddling in the financial situation in Asia. In 1997, a bunch of American hedge fund investors decided to put a bunch of money up and bet against Thai currency, the baht, at that time. Because previously, Thailand had tied their currency to the US dollar in order to help grow the economy. But once it realized that it wasn't helping anymore, they decided to separate. And for their own selfish interests, these American investors decided, okay, we're going to throw a bunch of billions of dollars over here to depreciate the baht and raise the value of American currency. This ultimately led to the collapse of the Thai economy and affected every other Asian economy that was tied to it. The majority were Southeast Asian countries, but South Korea was also, it also took a hit in this crash. And this was called the Asian financial crisis. So it's not just war, but it's also direct meddling in these economies that cause immigrants from Asia, particularly Southeast Asia, to seek economic opportunity elsewhere. And so it's extra insidious that, as V said, these problems that were literally caused by Western imperialist powers, they don't want to own up to them. They don't want to deal with the consequences. They want to keep insisting that the past is the past, but like this shit has affected people till this day. And the people that they've taken in, now they're finding every excuse to kick out, and it's fucked up. Anyway, this is a good point to transition to Sen, who can explain what's going on in Australia right now.
I'll try to make it brief, but there's like a lot of history. So going back in the day, there was like the White Australia policy that existed since the conception of the country, which became a country in like 1901, right? So it existed for a long time. They basically didn't allow anyone who wasn't Anglo, although they amended that meaning to later include people of like Greek, Italian descent and Germanic descent and whatever. But then it reached the final point when the Vietnamese refugees came after the war, the Vietnam War. That's when the White Australia policy was officially abolished, because, again, it was always amended but never completely gone. And the interesting thing is, in 1992, under the Keating government, they made legislation to force mandatory detention of any individuals without proper paperwork or proper visas. So mandatory detention has existed in Australia for as long as I've been born, essentially. But then also in 2001, under the Howard government, they also allowed for indefinite detention, meaning, as you would have guessed, people being like imprisoned for any amount of time without proper explanation and proper like duty of care, because previously it was about 270 days. So we've had a long history of taking asylum seekers and refugees in and just not giving them an opportunity to even live as citizens or giving them any notice. And it was also happening simultaneously while our own prime minister was demonizing and dehumanizing them through a lot of campaigns. So they started making up words like queue jumpers, which is essentially saying that these people are jumping a queue, that they're cheating a system. But you also have to recognize that when you're in a war situation, you can't just go to your local embassy and apply for a visa for political asylum or any other reason. So that was one of the one transgressions. Another one they used was boat people, which again dehumanizes them and kind of fails to recognize them as not just people that came by a boat, but people who are running from war or political regimes. And then in 2012 to 2013, under another government, they no longer wanted to process asylum seekers and refugees on shore. So they started processing them offshore. So on islands like Nauru Island, which is the equivalent of like a Guantanamo Bay. And it's not me exaggerating, because a lot of refugees have been dumped on this island indefinitely. Men, women, children, all housed in the same prison, right? So yeah, women and children being housed in the same place as adults. So there's like rampant sexual abuse and assault. A lot of men and women have successfully committed suicide. Like a lot of, at least since the 90s, there's been at least 19 people who have committed suicide. I think children have committed a lot of self-harm. People have released images of like drawings of the children where they drew themselves under these bars and they're crying, and it's really distressing to see. I think a lot of human rights organizations have tried to get on the island. They can't even do that. The government has also tried to pay off Papua New Guinea and Thailand and Cambodia to resettle refugees, because the main aim of the game is there is no chance of anybody who is a refugee or asylum seeker ever getting resettled in Australia. That's the strong message that they have decided to push. And it is now 2018 and things still haven't changed at all. And it's been happening for so long. And the main thing they're against is obviously people of Middle Eastern descent, but it's happening to Sri Lankan people as well. It's happening to quite a number of Vietnamese refugees. Just anybody really who isn't white. So again, this is a long explanation, but that's as brief as I could try to be with it.
Yeah, that's really fucked up.
Shame, 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 shame.
Oh yeah, I'll quickly mention something I've already mentioned, is that it costs the government more to offshore process these people than it is to do onshore processing. And there's like a number of organizations who are running these prisons through companies, not even by government. So like organizations like the Salvation Army, Save the Children, just to name a few, are benefiting off working in these prisons, essentially. So there is a lot of government interests and private interests that ride on the misery and imprisonment of people. So it's really fucked up to see. And you also have to keep, like, always keep in mind the organizations you support, because even these quote-unquote nonprofits aren't innocent either.
Well, it's certainly not a nonprofit if you're profiting off the suffering of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like the for-profit prisons in the States. Like, people are making money off imprisoning as many people as possible indefinitely.
Gross. Just gross. Yeah, and then so I remember looking at a poster semi-off topic, but they're like, it basically said, if you don't want refugees, stop creating them. So Westerners, stop destabilizing our lands if you don't like us refugees
stop,
so much.
Stop bombing the shit out of Asia, please.
Or trying to ruin our currencies or anything like that. Like, move. But seriously, moving forward to all this, what can we do as individuals to actually make a difference? Well, besides spreading the word about it on social media, you can start like looking at websites and reading stories, especially supporting sources like Cambodian Love, Asian Prisoners, SC, and
yeah, I would add SEARAC, SEARAC. They're an advocacy group that focuses on refugee communities.
AAJC too, so you guys can know your rights, especially. That's pretty important. Anything else you want to add on, Jay, and then since then?
I'm sure that we missed a lot. Because, I mean, the history of colonialism and imperialism that led us here is a very long one. It spans hundreds of years. But I hope that if you're angry about this, that you look into what made this situation, what created this problem today, because the effects are lasting. And knowing our history, especially as diaspora, is really important if we want to understand our position and what we can do to help people who are especially fucked by these things.
I follow an organization called Rise Refugee, and the thing I like about them in specifically is they aren't asking for human rights, they're demanding it. And I think that's something that we have to understand. And I think they also highlighted a problem where people took the opportunity on like World Refugee Day to talk about, oh, my grandparents went through this and my parents went through this. And as much as it is humanizing to share your stories, you also have to realize that it's not just a platform to tell your stories. You really have to take action with what is happening right now in your backyard and not just reminisce about the past or glorify this idea of struggle, but really fight for these people's rights to be human in a country and fighting for your right to not be white, basically. As Asian diaspora, we have to take that mantle. Whether it be for Asian communities or any other communities, we have to be very loud and abrasive about it, because there's no way that things are changing. Like, for example, in Australia, it's existed for as long as I've been alive. So there's no way they're going to change overnight. Telling your stories isn't enough. You really have to go further than that.
Yeah, like politically, bug your reps, write letters, call them. Make it known that this is an important issue to you. Support politicians who actually will do something about this and not just pay lip service to it. If you can, volunteer or donate your money to organizations that are actually doing a lot of important work to help people get resettled or to help fund people's legal fees. Because a lot of the people who are getting deported, it's because they don't have the money for a good lawyer to actually advocate for them in court. So like if you're poor, you are extra screwed because you can't really fight this injustice that's happening to you. So just keep all of that in mind. And if you can, be as visible as possible. Be as loud as possible. Don't beg for things. Demand them.
I stand with dreamers. All of them. Including our fellow Asians. And two things. So one, for those who brought it up, the deportations, just this year, I'm like, this stuff has already been happening since the beginning of time. So please do not use someone's misery just to get more views on your articles. Please do not be that person. Or bring it up when it's convenient for you. Because seriously, people's families are getting torn apart because of this. It is not cool. I've been seeing that a lot with some Asian activists on Twitter. So just putting it out there, especially as a working class Southeast Asian. No, 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 no. And number two, call your reps, make some noise, be loud and proud. Okay, so that's the end of the pod. You can follow us at JTW Podcast. And Jay?
Thanks for listening. I am J_MARAAN on Twitter.
And I'm Sen.
Thanks for listening to us, Rant. I'm Sen. You can find me on Twitter on Sentient.
Thanks for watching. Please go out there and make a difference.